Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of our self-reacquaintance podcast, where we embark on the journey of rediscovering who we truly are by peeling back the layers to truly understand our experiences, our feelings, emotions, as well as our aspirations. My name, of course, is Zanele Mnguni, your host. And we are now on our third episode. And today's episode is titled, My Relationship with Failure. It is about the relationship that we have with failure. And I think it is an episode that we can all relate to. And like all of you, I've had my fair share of encounters with failure. And I think while I recognize that often people tend to see failure as a negative force in their lives, I, on the other side, my experiences with failure haven't been so much negative. They haven't been that negative. Because here's the thing. For me, failure is not inherently bad. It is not bad thing. Instead, it is how we interpret it that really shapes our experiences, you know? So listen, it's not a secret that some people have a negative relationship with failure. I mean, who enjoys failing, right? Who enjoys failing? None of us. And also, I believe that society plays a big role in conditioning us to view failure as a setback or a sign of weakness or something to be ashamed of, especially in today's hyper competitive world where we glamorize success so much, but we rarely talk about the stories behind the failures that paved the way for those successes. We don't talk about that. And in doing so, we learn early on to hide our failures, and we tend to internalize the belief that failure equals to personal inadequacy, which is incorrect. So let's try to be practical so that I'm able to try to explain or show how failure can look like. Think about the times in your life where you failed. It's something you considered really important. A failure can be anything. Maybe at school, failure could be a bad grade. And in your career, failure could be a lost opportunity. In a personal relationship, failure could be feelings of letting others down or letting your significant other down. And failure can also be a failure in business ventures, you know, anything. Think about that time and then now ask yourself, what was your initial reaction to that? When you failed, when you felt that you failed at that thing, how did you feel? What was your initial reaction? Some of us will, of course, feel embarrassed. Some may feel frustrated, depending. But it is okay. That is okay. It is absolutely natural to feel like that. All these are normal feelings. The problem starts when we internalize these feelings and allow them to define us. I just want to say, family, the truth is this. Failure is part of all our lives. Therefore, it is crucial to reframe how we approach it, right? We need to change how we think about it, how we see it, and just reframe how we approach it. Now, as I was reflecting on how I've lived my life and just trying to understand how I've made certain decisions, taken certain steps, and how I process life's events, I realized that I may have a different relationship with failure. For me, it is not a hullabaloo, like a big thing that I will be crying for weeks and years about. It does not come to me like that. But for me, it is about accepting that sometimes growth and redirection will only come through failure. And granted, of course, granted, there are things that I will not do, I haven't done, and or I haven't started, like this podcast, because I didn't want to put myself out there, and I didn't think I was ready. I didn't think I was good enough, and I was afraid of the possibility of failure, of course. So there are those situations, even for me. With this kind of relationship that I have, I still have those moments. However, there are those things that I've attempted and truly really wanted to do them. Those ones where I did not even require anyone to convince me or to motivate me to do them. I just knew that I wanted to attempt. I wanted to do them. For those ones, whenever I was met with failure, I was able to accept it. And just accept it. Accept that, okay, I have failed this time. Come back, strategize if needs be, or let it go, or try again. Whatever is needed at that moment. But I was able to accept it and just move on. I try to make sure that I always learn from it. And I think I'm able to do this by, firstly, not giving my failures negative names. Names that will cause or give me anxiety. For example, I will not say things like, it's a disaster, it's chaos, it's mayhem. I will not use negative words to describe my failures. I'll probably cry about it, yes. Allow myself to feel it for a while and then try and describe how I am feeling about it instead. For example, I will describe it as an embarrassing feeling or feelings of disappointment in myself. Then I try to think about how to then change that situation. I hope I'm explaining it the way I'm thinking it. Like, I hope it's coming out the way I want. So, okay, for me, the word failure in and itself is not a negative word. It is a mere process. Therefore, I can say the failure to do ABC is making me feel like this. So let me give you personal examples that we can relate to. For me, personal related examples. One of them is my matric year. So I didn't get the results I wanted in matric and I was capable of getting. And this was because I just didn't work hard enough. I didn't. This disappointed me because I knew that I was capable. But I also knew that I was the type that needed to work a little extra hard and to put in extra effort and extra time to get the results that I want. And that I wasn't like those ones who just attend classes, listen to the teacher and just get it and just pass and just they just get it. I needed to put in the work. So there were feelings of disappointment. I felt disappointed in myself, especially when I couldn't do the course that I wanted to do because of the results that I got. However, this failure then helped me to refocus and take my work seriously. I made a promise to myself, Uti, never again, Zanele, will you put yourself in such a situation. And I can safely, proudly report that this is one promise I've been able to get to date. It's a promise of not putting myself in those situations where I know that I needed to do ABC, but I didn't do it. And now I'm finding myself in this difficult situation. So it's a promise that I was able to keep and I'm proud of myself for it. But you see, I think I needed to go through that to realize that I needed to make drastic changes in my life. And I don't think those changes would have come if I didn't get the results that I got. So I needed a little push to the right direction, but it took this to get me to the right course, the right direction. And then another example, people may have different feelings about this one, but for me, another one is a big one for me, is when I couldn't push my baby during delivery after deciding against my doctor's wise counsel, who advised me to schedule a cesarean section because of my baby's big size. I couldn't push after preparing myself mentally and thinking I've prepared my body to do this thing. And I thought I was ready for the task, but I just couldn't push my baby out. And I thought I failed myself. I thought my body failed me. I cried about it for a while. I cried. It was really painful for me that I was not able to do it. But I snapped out of it. And when I did that because I saw my baby. And I realized that I did the best I could. And that it was okay that my best wasn't enough to change how my baby was to enter this world. But here he is. He is healthy, he is beautiful, and he's just perfect. He is all, he's everything I needed. He is exactly the way he was supposed to be. And then my heart was just filled with so much gratitude and so much joy that the feelings of hurt, disappointment, and frustration, I think, they then left me because they were now replaced by these feelings of gratitude. I was able to be proud of myself, and I was able to, that I was able to do that, to carry this baby to term and to bring him home. This was failure at the beginning. It was then later something to be proud of. And the lesson that I got for me here was that it taught me a lot about acceptance. It taught me that there are things I will not be able to control. So growing up, I was very controlling. My younger sibling and younger cousins will tell you. So I think it helped me to understand and accept that there are things I will not be able to control. And this experience alone gave me so much growth. So much growth and maturity. I needed to mature and just grow up, and took this to get me there. Okay, another one that I can mention that maybe people can relate to is the many businesses that I've started. I have started businesses, Mina, over the years. I've done different kinds of businesses, and I would start them and just leave them hanging. Some I even forgot what they were called, but I know I started them. And I didn't just start them sitting in my home and just thinking I'm starting. No. So I would go as far as registering these companies at CIPC. I registered a few of them. Then I would have to go back and deregister. Some I think I haven't. I'll go check, but so I would also do that because I would be so convinced that this is what I needed to do. This is a business I needed to get into. And this is what I'm thinking I'm passionate about now. And then I would start it only to find that I don't have interest in that thing. And I would just leave it like that. With that, I made a decision a couple of years ago. And again, I made that decision. I had to remind myself again this year to say, I am no longer going to be starting anything if I'm not going to be able to commit to it completely. I know I don't necessarily have the time. My plate is full. But whatever I am starting this year going forward, I will commit to. And I'm going to commit to it fully. So you see, for me, failure always teaches me to want to do better next time. It helps me to improve and to grow. So failure forces me to pause and reflect, to go back and to see what I did wrong, what I could have done differently, and where I can improve. But I get it. I get it completely. For those who have a different relationship with failure, I totally understand. I get how a person can be so fearful of failure. It is scary. Someone was saying it is like grief. The only way out is through. And I get that. I get that completely. But the problem is not the failure itself. It is the relationship with failure that causes us so much anxiety. So one writer that I came across when I was doing my research, because I prepare for this podcast, I prepare and I will go read and listen and pray. And I found one writer who wrote an article, and I think her name is Aradhana. I don't know. I hope I'm not butchering her name. Anyone who's called by this name, please forgive me. It is spelled Aradhana. So I think it is Aradhana. But I don't know. But she wrote an article about how to have a healthy relationship with failure. And she says in the article, it is not the failure itself that inhibits you from moving forward to achieve what you have aspired to achieve, but rather the fear of failure itself. And I believe that it is the same thing that I said earlier. She states that in our life, we will experience so many setbacks, and that it is normal. And she gives some examples, some of which I mentioned earlier, about failures in your career, at school, in your relationships, and so on. So I am paraphrasing. She may not have said it exactly the way I'm saying it now. But because of these setbacks, we tend to start blaming ourselves that we failed because we are careless or incompetent or insensitive and so on and so forth. We begin to draw conclusions that, yes, indeed, we are failures. The article then further reads, is failure a bunch of preconceived notions that the society makes you believe as a right or wrong way to approach a certain situation? That is a question she's posing. And here she is essentially asking us whether these failures, or what we perceive to be failures, are the expectations of society on us, or what are they? And I really liked that. I really enjoyed the whole article or blog post, because it challenged me to really think and look at the type of relationship that I have with failure. And these are some of the questions I was asking myself. She further asks, what if you ignore what the society says and create your own healthy relationship with failure? To this, she mentions that the first step to do this is to create an awareness of what makes you feel accomplished or what makes you feel disappointed in yourself. And that this is not a formal evaluation, but rather an introspection. It is about understanding your feelings, why you feel them, and where the feelings are coming from. And I really like that. So it is about trying to build a positive relationship with failure. But how, someone may ask, how do you build a positive relationship with this thing that you think is negative? How do you? Maybe we can start by firstly recognizing that failure is not the opposite of success, right? It is not the opposite of success. It is part of the process to success. So let me repeat that. Your failure is part of your journey to your success. Understand that, and you are already 10 steps ahead. And then try to shift from just looking at it as failure to looking at it as a lesson or lessons. Ask yourself, what can I learn from this? This simple shift alone can help you see failure as a learning tool. You know, not a disaster, but a learning tool. Then remind yourself that failure is not your identity. It is not you. You are not your failures. It is important to separate who you are from the mistakes you make. Failures are events. They happen. They are not who you are. For instance, if you fail an exam, it doesn't mean you are unintelligent. It just means you may need to approach a subject, that subject, differently the next time. Right? Another thing, try to always celebrate your efforts. And Don't only celebrate positive outcomes, also celebrate the efforts. Yes, we must also acknowledge the efforts that we put into something, even if it fails. The effort alone that you put into it. Recognize the strength and the discipline it took for you to even start and to go that far. So celebrate that you put in that effort. And then try to look for the silver lining. Like with my baby, I could not push. I felt like I failed. But the silver lining was that my baby is perfect. He is well. He is alive. And I have the baby. That is the silver lining that we are looking for. So maybe failing, part of the silver linings that you can be looking for, maybe failing at that one thing pushed you in a new direction that aligned even better with your true passions and values. Maybe that failure was not even what you were supposed to be doing to begin with, but it took that failure for you to realize that actually this is what you're supposed to be doing. You are actually better at this one, and you are more passionate and more aligned with this one. Look for the silver lining. Now, let's change gears a little. Let's look at what the Bible says about failure, what God's word is telling us about failure. There are many examples today in the Bible of people who failed and failed big. Yet, they went on to fulfill God's purpose for their lives. So, for example, we can look at Peter, the disciple who betrayed or denied Jesus, a very crucial, critical moment, but that was not the end for him. Instead, he came back later to be reinstated as a leader and to feed the sheep. So he was used for something else, and it was not the end. So that failure was not the end. But also, just to go to the Bible verses quickly, so the Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, for though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. What does it mean? This means God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he does expect us to get back up, learn, and try again and again until we get it right. Now, we understand that as painful as it is, failure is painful. What feels like failure in the moment might be God setting us up for something better. Maybe we should look at it like that. Now, go on. I want to encourage you now this evening to go on and take those risks without fear. Don't allow fear of failure to hold you back from making those moves. Whether it is applying for that new job, whether it is starting that business or whatever it is now time to go for it. It is important to surround yourself with people who can encourage you and support you, especially when things don't go as planned, you know, because sometimes they don't. You need to have that strong support system, because it is that will help you bounce back faster. And lastly, always turn to scripture for reassurance. Turn to scripture all the time for reassurance. Failure is not and shouldn't be your enemy. In fact, it can be one of the most powerful tools for personal growth and self-reacquaintance. So try to build a positive relationship with failure so that you'll be able to take more risks and grow more deeply and fully. And another reminder again, failure is not the opposite of success. It is part of it. So let's embrace our failures, learn from them, and trust that God is working through every single one of them to bring us closer to the purpose he has for us. Now, thank you so much. Thank you all so much for joining me yet again today on self-reacquaintance. If you found this episode helpful in any way, please share it with those who may be needing a little encouragement on their journey. And until next time, stay blessed, stay encouraged, stay curious, and keep reacquainting yourself with yourself. Thank you very much. Bye.